Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
I feel so much love and so much appreciation. It's amazing that we can be here. This practice to me is so important. On that beautiful birthday cake is my stamp that, you know, I use for official Zen things. And it has my two names on it, Ansho, which I took when I received the precepts, or the beginning of my, in some ways, of my beginning of my formal commitment to this practice, which means true peace, which is an ongoing riddle. And the second name, Koshin, means boundless heart-mind. And to me, they're just, I love seeing them together because they're two moments when I deepen my commitment to this practice. Not the end of practice. Not like, well, I got that, now I'm good. To me, they're just kind of beginning points. And what I love about this practice is, again and again, beginning. Like a birthday. I'm 46 today. I'm much younger than Chodo. Very different this year. In general, birthdays for me have been so mixed. Maybe they are for you. I always have a tendency to have a great amount of sadness, actually, on my birthdays. And I felt that sadness actually coming on last night. This old pre-birthday heavy sadness. And I was talking to my teacher, Diane, last night. I had the opportunity to explore that with her. And I really saw how clearly it was just an old conditioned response to the same thing every year. As if I was still reenacting a birthday I had many years ago, where it was quite sad. And it made me think so much about how often many of my responses to things are not my responses to things at all, but old, familiar patterns of emotional responses to the same shit. Being asked a question, being appreciated, not appreciated. Seeing someone you love, not seeing someone you love. Feeling scared, feeling overwhelmed. I began last night really considering how much of my actual experiences throughout my day are actually fresh. And I don't know. I I'm really curious though. Birthdays, according, at least in writing, were first, the first birthday ever written about was the pharaohs in Egypt in hieroglyphics. I would imagine maybe in those cave paintings, and maybe there's something, but at least in hieroglyphics, and first in an alphabet of some kind, was the pharaohs, and only the pharaohs who were recorded. Long before Hallmark cards. Remember when people send cards? Now you get likes on Facebook or something. Or if you win the lottery, like I feel like I have, you have a beautiful community to celebrate. The whole point of it is really just to take note that time is passing. And how do we do that together? How do we want to spend our time? Because that's actually all we have. To me, I want to spend some time actually seeing what I don't know and not playing old roles all the time. I'm getting really interested in actually what is actually fresh. And I really couldn't do that without this community and without my teacher and without Chodo. I've always liked my birthday a lot, in particular the date. As a young Zen practitioner many years ago, I was super excited because it's Bodhidharma's day. And he's like such a badass. He's like the Zen badass. He often has a face like that. And like everyone was scared to mess with him. And for years he sat facing the wall. And his first student, you know, had to beg him for days to just so that he could sit there. That would not be so popular here. Different culture. Imagine turning people away. No. At the door. You're not serious. At a certain point in his passage in his life, Bodhidharma became interested in transmission, passing on the teachings to other teachers. And he had a few students, and even a female student, which is encouraging, back in the day. And he asked his students, for each of them, to demonstrate their understanding of what this is all about. Such a great question. Show me what this is all about. What would you say? Most important question. And are we living according to what this is all about? Are we aligned actually in our thoughts, words, and actions in what this is all about for you. I know I could use a little work on that. It's not about being perfect, but a little rigor is pretty worthwhile. So the first of his students, you know, was feeling quite, you know, ready. You can imagine that student. Oh, I know the answer to that. And it was named Dao Fu. And he stepped forward and he said, "It is not bound by words or phrases, nor is it separate from words or phrases. This is the function of the way." And Bodhidharma looked at him. He said, "Well, you've attained my skin. You're touching the surface. And his female student, Zong Qi, stepped up and said, "It's like a glorious glimpse of the realm of the Buddhas. Seen once, it need not be seen ever again." Bodhidharma checked her out and said, "You've attained my flesh. You're getting into the meat of things." Another student said, Dao Yu said, "The four elements are all empty. The five skandhas are without actual existence. Not a single dharma can be grasped. Nothing can be grasped." Bodhidharma looked at him, said, "You've attained my bones. Nothing can be grasped." Finally, his student Wike came forth and just bowed, and then stood up straight. And Bodhidharma said, "You have attained my marrow." I always wonder about that bow. I don't think it was. How do you bow when there's nothing there? Not trying to be anything. Not trying to be spiritual, not trying to be special. Not separating in any way. I love that thought of that kind of bow. And this is the marrow to me. And marrow is that vital part of us, inside of our bones, that we rely on. Without it, we would die. Who thinks about their marrow? I don't often. But I love this image that, you know, he's asking us to think about something deep within us. Consider something so deep and so alive and vital and ever-changing. And inviting that in as a way of being. I so often think of our beloved Sangha member, Harry. Harry North. who, after he received his diagnosis and prognosis of very aggressive stage 4 prostate cancer, realized that he had been living in a dream most of his life. He was always trying to figure out, what's this all about? He was a very strong sitter. You know, he loved sitting. And he was always like, trying to like push through something. Dedicated to his practice. And yet also in a dream. Thinking if he could just figure out what all this Buddhist stuff is about, then he would be enlightened. It's one of the reasons why I love Zen so much, because we don't really care about enlightenment. It's more about what's being alive and what is alive. It's not about arriving at some station. It's about how do we serve the world. Realizing that we don't have a lot of time. From time to time, I have the pleasure of still meeting with Harry, who's gone to England. We have our face-to-face meetings on Skype, even when he can't get out of bed. And his rigor of actually using his life now has completely changed. He's learned to be soft and rigorous at the same time. Really watching his mind and also not being so, not trying to get it. He tells me about colors. He tells me about the expression on people's faces. He even shows me around his room. To me, it's like a birthday. Realizing what's really important. To me, it's like I can use any of these things to realign to our marrow, to really what's important. We have so little time. Merwin says, he wrote this on a birthday, every year, without knowing it, I have passed the day. When the last fires will wave to me, and the silence will set out, tireless traveler, like the beam of a lightless star. Then I will no longer find myself in life as in a strange garment, surprised at the earth and the love of one woman and the shamelessness of men, as today writing after 3 days of rain. Hearing the wren sing and the falling cease, and bowing, not knowing, to one. This is the bow to me. The reality of that all of us have a day. at some point, and we're always passing it. And to use that actually as a way of becoming more vital. Some people think, oh, that's so heavy and depressing. But to me, it's like, wow, wake up. This is it. What if I've been in a dream? What an amazing opportunity I have to see you. To be in this room at this time. How incredible. I think so often of when Harry was, I was talking to him last, and he's like, wow, everyone gets to go into that room. I used to be able to do that. How wonderful. He's talking about this room. To me, that appreciation, and it wasn't like a sadness, it was just like, wow, everyone gets to do that. I don't get to do that anymore. I'm going to miss doing that. How amazing. And how many of us are actually even aware of most of the things in our life that we get to do? And this is it. Not later. I'm so grateful to you all. So grateful to this practice. I'm so grateful to someone we call Shakyamuni Buddha, who decided to leave business as usual. Bodhidharma, who decided to leave business as usual. And all those people up there who decided to leave business as usual and dedicate themselves to something else. And to me, and those are some of the reasons why we're all here. So I'm so amazed about lineage sometimes. So humbling. You think you're here because of you. Or I'm here because of me.